In the small community of Shishmaref in northwest Alaska, there's a local business like no other. It's a tannery set up to process hundreds of seal hides each year sent from subsistence hunters. After fits and starts, it had closed down for several years. Now, as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, the tannery is back in business, but not without challenges.
This is a Shishmaref slipper.
On a shelf in his store, Percy Nyakpak has several slippers made of shimmering gray sealskin with black beaver trim and blue beadwork.
This is good slippers for up north, I tell you. Yeah. Don't get no Crocs if you're going to live around here. Get a pair of these.
Walrus ivory earrings are on display near the candy bars. Draped casually below a stereo speaker is a wolf pelt, but the seal products are extra special. Families here have long relied on hunting ice seals, in part because the fur is exceptionally good protection from the cold, used in hats and thick outer mittens. These house slippers were sewn in Shishmaref, and on the other side of town, in a squat one-story building, is a place dedicated to fur crafting.
Okay, this is the work area. When people first come in, they come in and drop the seals off here. First, we'll invoice them. Count how many seals they have, what kind of seals they are.
Dennis Sinek manages the tannery. He's standing in front of several large tanks where the hides soak when they first come in. Splattered on the walls are yellow stains kicked up from what look like circular saws mounted on work tables.
These are fleshing machines. It's a round knife to where it fleshes the fat right off of the seal. And this is where all the work is done.
The tannery reopened last year, and it'll now be a seasonal operation from October to early January. There were 7 employees, and Sinek is pleased with this year's run.
We did 850 seals in 3 months. That is the most I've ever seen them do.
This is the only tannery of its kind in Alaska right now, and there's enough pent-up demand that Sinek had to put a limit of 10 hides per family this year. But all over the building are signs of just how hard it is to operate a business in a town this far off the road system. The ceilings are extra low to cut down on heating costs. There's a small wind turbine outside to add supplemental power. And like much of Western Alaska, Shishmaref's lack of critical infrastructure is a barrier for business. Sinek is worried because a check he mailed to the bank still hasn't cleared. Mobile deposits aren't an option because the tannery has no internet, an expensive extra utility. The town doesn't have piped water, so Sinek has to haul hundreds of gallons a week from the Washeteria.
I've been using a four-wheeler and a trailer with a 200-gallon tank, and it would be a lot easier if we had running water here.
Many of these are the same problems that hampered the tannery from its beginning. Tony Wayawana was a much younger man in the 80s when the community started looking into the idea of a tannery.
From the time we started talking about it to when it opened the doors, it probably was about 4 years.
Back then, Shishmaref's village council wanted to find economic opportunities that made use of their local resources, which, among other things, included a lot of traditional sewers who knew how to turn animal hides into good-looking, practical garments. The idea was to take tanning and sewing that was happening in homes and replicate it at a commercial scale. Some of the hides went back to the families that had brought them in. Others were purchased, and sewers were employed to turn them into gloves, slippers, hats, and more. Wayawana says in the mid-90s, the tannery was an economic engine, handling hides from across the state and bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars, much of which stayed in Shishmaref and the region.
So it made an impact, you know.
But it was never an easy business to run. Wayawana left the tannery in 1995 and wasn't keeping tabs over a decade later when things got rocky.
I didn't really pay attention too much on why it shut down and stuff. Maybe mismanagement.
Now that it's back, Dennis Sinek thinks the tannery can thrive again in Shishmaref. But the time commitment has been a drain on his personal life. He's an accomplished subsistence hunter, and that's part of what he loves about living here. He's got bright red caribou haunches curing in the sun outside his house and a massive polar bear hide stretched out on his living room wall. It's hard giving up subsistence opportunities for all the headaches that come with running a business, and he's weighing whether or not he'll return to the job next fall. Regardless, he hopes that years from now, Shishmaref's tannery will still be in business.
Hopefully somebody can see what I see or how I've been doing it to keep it open, to keep it alive, to keep people sewing, you know, keeping the tradition going, making crafts out of seal.
He's not alone. At least one other community in the region is thinking about setting up a new tannery of its own. In Shishmaref, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
That story was made possible by a grant from the Marguerite Casey Foundation.